One of the clearest promises in the scripture about God speaking to us as children is in John 10:27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." What a beautiful picture that he paints of how much he cares about each one of us and about the kind of relationship that we get to have with him. I mean, it's intimate and it is interactive. My sheep hear my voice. Well, how do we know for sure when God's speaking to us? Well, the bottom line is that the more intimate we become with God, the more acquainted we become with his voice. Let me say that again. The more intimate we become with God, the more acquainted we become with his voice. So if you think about it, when I talk to someone on the phone that I know really well, I recognize her voice right away. Like my sis, when she calls, she always says, "Hola," and I know it's her. And I have another friend who always says, "Hey," and I know that's my friend just from "Hey." Just that one word, and I know it's them talking. Speaking of phones, don't you just wish that you could call God on the phone? You know, I know Ellen years ago did a stand-up on that one, but it's like, you know, "Hello, God, it's Mary. Hey, I'm really having a lot of problems here. Can you help? Can you tell me what to do?" You know, I mean, we have Siri, don't we? And my phone has GPS. My family calls our GPS lady Lola, and Lola tells me where to go, and when I go the wrong way, which is often because I'm extremely directionally challenged, she says, "Make a U-turn and proceed to the route." So I gotta love my Lola. But you know, in Old Testament times, people really did hear from God, and they heard his audible voice. But truthfully, most of us won't. Sometimes I get jealous of people in the Old Testament who heard from God audibly or saw his miraculous signs. I mean, because who wouldn't want to see a cloud in the sky guide them when they're confused about which way to take? And what we want to remember is that as New Testament believers, we have something so much better. I mean, when we give our lives to Christ, God infuses us with his own Holy Spirit, who continually speaks to us. John 16, Jesus assured his followers that it was actually better that he go away, because if I don't, he said, the Helper won't come. If I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. And then he continues in verses 13 and 14. He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." So when God sent the Holy Spirit to actually live inside of us as followers, he initiated the primary way that he speaks to us today. And best of all, we have this treasure, the Bible. His written word speaks to us, and it's available to us anytime. And so that's why it's so important to read and study and meditate on it, memorize it. These words give life. And on a side note, I do want to say that God will never, ever tell us to do something that doesn't match up with what's in here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the words of the Bible, and he's never going to contradict himself. Jeff talked a little bit about hearing from God during his sermon last weekend when he's teaching us about the story of Esther, and he was talking about how Esther had to make a decision when she was praying and fasting. And he said that sometimes, you know, when God's speaking to us, he may just give us an idea, or he might give us an image about something. I can tell you, God gave Patty the image about the whole chopped thing months ago, and that was so Holy Spirit-led. You know, he'll just give us a prompting for something that just seems so outside of ourselves, and it doesn't really make sense. But, you know, those things come from him. Now, we can't just jump on them without a lot of prayer and evaluation, and again, checking it against scripture and seeking some wise biblical counsel. But he does speak to us in a lot of different ways. Like Jeff said, there's no just formula for how does God speak to us. I mean, it's individual. How else does he speak to us? Well, at times he speaks through circumstances, doesn't he? I mean, if we didn't get that job we really wanted, then he's saying no. Sometimes he speaks to us through other believers. But again, we want to test what we hear with God's word. He speaks through Bible-filled teaching, like we've had this weekend. And lastly, he speaks to us through when we pray and worship him. And that's really a big one. One of the most awesome things about singing worship songs is that when we're singing truths about God, we're meditating and we're praying and praising who he is. Oftentimes, we're actually singing scripture. Did you know that? A lot of the songs are just singing scripture. Is there a line in a song that continually chokes you up when you grab your Kleenex whenever you sing it? Well, for me, I know that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me when that happens. Or if I'm reading my Bible, if there's a particular scripture that pops out and I have to grab my pen and highlight it, chances are that's a clue that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Is there something in the teaching that you've heard so far this weekend that's really hit you? Even if it's cut you like a knife, you know, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. So whatever nugget God's given you so far, or whatever he's going to continue to give you throughout the rest of the weekend, I really want to encourage you to hold on to it, because that is him speaking. We just finished a Bible study, Priscilla Shearer study on fervent, and in it we learned a lot of strategies that the enemy uses against us. And one of them is that I think that he, you know, we dismiss his voice sometimes. The enemy tries to convince us that, oh, that wasn't really God. Nah, that was just your imagination, whatever. But God really does speak to us, and we need to be aware of that and hold on to that. For me, I'm learning that when God speaks a scripture into my mind, just out of nowhere, that's kind of speaking to a specific problem that I'm facing, that's his voice I'm hearing. Earlier this year, I had the experience of watching someone very close to me struggle with mental illness. It was a hard, hard year. Many of you prayed over this situation, which I really greatly appreciate. And we watched the resulting fallout of it. But it was really heart-wrenching. And I prayed continually, and to a point where I felt like Paul, like Patty mentioned, you know, it became that thorn that was like, God wasn't answering it. He wasn't changing it, in my opinion, as fast as I thought he should be. But one day in the midst of the tears and the prayer, this verse just popped into my head, and it seemed to come out of nowhere. I don't know how to explain it other than to say that I audibly heard the words in my head. And it was 2 Corinthians 12:9, which God spoke to Paul, "My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And when I heard those words, I was overwhelmed with peace. So when we do hear God's voice, the result is that we're going to feel his peace that passes all understanding. And so I just breathed out and let go. And then God confirmed that same scripture several times in the following week, to the point where someone actually handed me something with part of that scripture engraved on it. And I'm like, okay, that was my scripture for the week. And I'm holding on to that. I have it like hanging on my desk at work. So, you know, he was just reminding me that he really cares about me and the person that I was praying for. And he cares about you too, whatever you're going through right now. It's so important, and we talked about this earlier, it's so important for us to know that our God is for us. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." John 10:14. Well, what is a good shepherd? You know, Psalm 23, which most of us know by heart. If you don't memorize it, it's a great psalm. One of the best beloved psalms in Scripture. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path for righteousness' sake, a path of righteousness for his name's sake." That's the kind of shepherd he is. He says, "My own know me." Well, God really does want us to know him, his character, his holiness, his power, and most of all, his love. And he's not only our shepherd, he's our protector, he's our provider, our comforter, our source of all healing and rest, and a whole lot more. And David didn't just know these facts about God, he lived these things experientially. And so whatever experiences God's allowing in each one of our lives right now, they're not by accident. He wants us to walk through them with him so that we can learn who he is on a deeper level. So I want to conclude with this thought. And it's John 16:7. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. And we know an advocate is someone who's for us, right? The Amplified Bible actually gives some more names for the Holy Spirit. One of them is the counselor. How many of you have ever seen a counselor? Okay, well, I have. I know someone I'm very close to who's seen a counselor for years. And her counselor just keeps telling her what she wants to hear. And not a whole lot has really changed in her life. I can tell you from experience that a good counselor tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. A good counselor is going to challenge you to face whatever it is that's messing up your life and make you deal with it. A good counselor is like my GPS. They're going to tell you, make a U-turn and proceed to the route. So earlier this year, my husband and I had a few sessions with a good Christian counselor. Because as I said, we had this situation with someone, and my husband and I dealt with it in extraordinarily different ways, which caused a lot of rift in our marriage to the point where it was like, shh, but our counselor didn't just tell us what we wanted to hear. She challenged each of us to look at our part and to make amends and to seek peace and unity. And it wasn't easy. But our counselor was working towards our good. And God is working towards our good, too. One of my favorite songs is the Good, Good Father song. I call it the Good, Good Father song. You know, you're the good, good father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. And that's who I am. And lastly, you know, good father, good shepherd. And Psalm 143:10 says, let your good spirit lead me on level ground. I love that. God's good spirit. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit's goal is to make us more like Christ, isn't it? So he convicts us of sin. Anything that separates us from God, it's important to know that there is a difference between God's convicting voice and the enemy's condemning voice. And here's the thing, Satan's the accuser and the liar. He only wants to discourage us and push us away from God into hiding. He's done that from the beginning. God's good spirit, on the other hand, he calls us to him. He's saying, child, just come. Just come. He wants to heal and restore us, and his voice calls us out from hiding. He asks us to bring our sin into the light. Because of Christ's blood, we can approach God's throne of grace. Love that grace. And we can confess our sins and be made clean. So we're going to excuse you now to spend some really important quiet time, uninterrupted, alone, just us with God. And I'm just going to encourage you to spend that time however the Holy Spirit leads you. Don't look around at your neighbors like, oh, well, what is she doing? It's more spiritual than what I'm doing, or whatever. However the Holy Spirit leads you. We do have a handout with some questions. It's not homework. It's just some questions you can read through, or you can write on it as well. You can get them on the way out the door. They're just something to kind of help you reflect on what God's speaking to you so far this weekend. And we would ask, after the free time at 4 o'clock, to bring those questions back with you when we have our group discussion time. We would ask that you please remain silent during this time, because we really do want to create just a quiet, uninterrupted, reverent time with God. You can go anywhere on the grounds, go back to room, whatever. I can guarantee you the more you do this, the more you'll want to do this. The more we just have that quiet time, like Sharon was talking about with her little rascal, you know. This is a time where we just get to sit at his feet and remember that the Lord delights in you and that he longs to spend time with you. He longs for you to pour out your heart to him. And he's always waiting in that secret place to listen and comfort and just give us his peace and direction. But I do want to say one thing. I think oftentimes we talk too much to God, and we don't sit and shut up and listen to him. So that's why he gave us two ears and one mouth. So one thing also that you sometimes we wonder, well, what's a good way to start? And I love what Linda Dillo taught us to do a while back, and that is just praise. You know, Mary Wood talked about praise this morning in the devotional, that just starting with praise, praising who he is. And Linda Dillo just encouraged us to praise the ABCs, like to think of different attributes of God. So, you know, A is God is awesome. He's beautiful. He's a creator. I delight in him. He's ever present. I mean, whatever, just go through the whole alphabet. So anyway, let me just pray, and we're going to excuse you. We are going to ask that you take your personal items with you, because we're going to reconfigure the chairs after everybody leaves. So take your personal items, grab questions on your way out the door, and then just go spend your awesome hour with God, and then go to lunch after that, okay? So Father God, I just thank you so much, Lord, just for this, just this time here at retreat. God, you had it all planned out. You brought each lady here. You brought each one of us, knowing our hearts, God, knowing what we've got in our basket. And we're just so looking forward in expectancy to what you want to do in each of our lives, God. So I just ask it as we come to this quiet time now to sit at your feet, Lord, that we would just put our hearts before you. Help us to release and let go of anything that's separating us from you, God. We love you. We just give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.